called Were You There? Were You There? The writer says, when they crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And then the next verse says, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Or were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And then the good news. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, to tremble, to tremble. Were you there when they raised him from the tomb? Were you there was likely composed by enslaved African Americans in the 19th century, something I learned in research. It was published in William Eleazar Barton's 1899 Old Plantation Hymns. In 1940, it was included in the Episcopal Church hymnal, making it the first spiritual to be included in any major American hymnal. Were you there? Amen. The things you learn when the Lord places something on your heart. As reported in Howard Thurman's autobiography, the song was one of Mahatma Gandhi's favorites. Another thought, something I learned. And he was a Hindu, but he understood. And it was one of his favorites, says Howard Thurman's in his autobiography. The song has been recorded by artists including Paul Robeson, the great black opera singer who was banned from being in the U.S. when he was fighting slavery. Marion Williams, another great opera singer, Johnny Cash, even Ari Belafonte, and so on. A critic from the Indianapolis News wrote about Paul Robeson's rendition of Were You There, saying that it was a startling and vivid a disclosure of reverent feeling of penetrating pathos as one could imagine. So my sermon to title today is, What Would You Have Done? And when I ask you that, there's something behind that, right? What would you have done if you had been there? What would I have done if I had been there? As the song says, were you there? What would we have done? And we are sure, we believe in our hearts what we have done. But hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? Right? We always know what we would have done. We could always do it better than the next person after they've done it. Amen? But what would we have done? All four Gospels state that during Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, he predicted that Peter would deny knowledge of him. I spoke on that a little bit yesterday, stating that Peter would disown him before the rooster crowed the next morning. And Susan, I think I have up two slides. You could go in between. Following the arrest of Jesus, Peter denied knowing him three times. But after the third time, he heard the rooster crow and recalled the prediction as Jesus turned to look at him. And if you see the first slide, that is, I have a couple of slides for folks online that you're looking at, you could see how distraught Peter looks. Right? Peter is broken. It says, Peter then began to cry bitterly when he realized. This final incident is known as the repentance of Peter. That's the difference between Peter and Judas. Peter repented and cried bitterly. Matthew would say that. The turbulent emotions behind Peter's denial and later repentance have been the subject of major works of art for centuries. The prediction made by Jesus during the Last Supper that Peter would deny and disown him appears in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. Another narrative that is in all four Gospels. And I could give you the chapter and verses, but you could find them if you Google it. The denial accounts in the Gospels differ from each other. They differ, but within the story, Peter denied Christ. According to the Gospel of Matthew, which we did not read today because it's not our lectionary scripture, Peter replied when Jesus predicted that he would deny him. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." I know some folks think they are like Peter, aren't they? I never will. You know, there are folks who talk about Jesus and they talk as if they've never made a mistake, they've never said a wrong word, and they've never denied him. They are holier than Jesus himself. But for those of us who would be there and wondering, Lord, you know, when they come after me and I see all those Romans with those swords and things, I may run and hide. Doesn't mean that I don't love Jesus. Who knows what I would have done? God knows my heart. And so he says, "I never will." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And you see, Matthew is writing to Jewish readers, so he's given the detail more so than the John text. He says, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Think on that now, friends. All the disciples, do you remember who was at the cross? I'm not giving you a quiz. But the only disciple who was at the cross is the one Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mother." And that was John. Amen. All the others were missing, like how many of us would be missing. Later that night, Jesus was arrested. And the first denial to the servant girl in Luke 22:54-57 is as follows. "Then they seized him and led him away, bring him in into the high priest's house. And Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire," that's a picture that is from the Luke Gospel. They had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together. Peter sat down with them. That's another telling of the same story. Matthew doesn't talk about the fire. John does, and so does now Luke. "A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it." Peter, you remember Peter was going to die for Jesus. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. And we look at ourselves tonight, and we cannot imagine that we would say that. Anybody here imagine that they would say that? Never know now when we're between a rock and a hard place. The second denial to the same girl in Mark 14:69-70 is when the servant girl saw him there. She said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. Poor Peter. And the third denial to a number of people is emphatic as he curses according to the Matthew Gospel in 26, 73 and 75. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." And then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them. I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "But the rooster crows, and you will disown me." And he wept bitterly. So Peter was in such a bind that Peter cursed himself. Who would have thought? Do you remember when Jesus spoke to Peter much earlier and told him that he would be the one? And Peter got so upset and he says, "No, you will not die. You will not. We will fight with you. We'll die with you." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because he realized the enemy was, and then Peter realized and says, "You are the Son of God." And then he would say to Peter, "Peter, on this rock," Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Because he got a revelation from God. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, on this rock, on your faith, on your belief, I'll build my church." Here's the good news, friends. There's good news as I get into the story. Jesus is a forgiven Savior.
Amen.
Jesus is very forgiven. Because if anybody Jesus was not going to forgive would be Peter, wouldn't it? Right? Others who had killed him and so on, you know, they were lost unless they asked for forgiveness. But Peter, as the Bible tells us, he wept bitterly. He was broken. He was broken that he had denied the Messiah, the one who had called him into relationship with him and called him to serve and to follow him. And that's good news for us, because we do, friends, we do deny Christ. We deny Christ in many different ways, my brothers and sisters. What would you have done? What would you have done? The crowds there were hostile. There were Romans and there were Jews. Jewish, you know, because they're Jewish people, and there were the Jewish high priest and so on, that Peter as a Jew would have to respect the high priest and the will of the high priest, Caiaphas and Ananias and all the high priests, because he's Jewish, right? And the high priests are over the Jewish people. But beyond that, there were the Romans, who was over all of the Jewish people then, and the Gentiles. And they were cruel people, the Romans. They were cruel people. So once Peter saw, this is a human condition. And sometimes we act as if we're so saintly and so holy, we forget that underneath we're human beings. And this was a human condition. Fear is a human condition. Amen? Fear is a human condition. When Peter had walked with Jesus, seen Jesus, ate with Jesus, sat with Jesus. Jesus had called them faithless. Then he had told them he loved them. And he told them he wouldn't leave them. And then he told them he's going to die for them. And then he told them he's gone to prepare a place for them. They had their emotions up and down with Jesus. Because they were weak human beings. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knows that we're weak and we have got moments of doubt and fear, church. Amen? Amen. Jesus knows that we cannot surprise Jesus. Can't surprise him. You know, I could tell you anything. I could tell you, well, you know, if I was there, I would have got up and I would have just punched him out. You know, I could say that, right? I'm going to just, you know, I used to defend. This is Good Friday, but I my younger brother, my brother, only brother who passed away, he's younger than me, and he used to stutter. And when anybody messed with him, those days before I was saved and sanctified. Now I'm saved and sanctified and holy. But before I was that way, when I was much younger, and when they messed with him, I would knock them out. you know, I'm defending him. So I would believe in my spirit I'd be defending Jesus. Right? But could you imagine Peter? When Peter looked around and all those Roman soldiers, Peter had no weapons. Fear took over Peter. But Peter did not stay in sin. Peter realized. He realized. But he was so worried that none of the men saw Jesus on the cross except for John and the woman from that team. As if they were watching the procession as they took him through the streets, the narrow roads of Jerusalem, we don't know that if they were watching. But what we're sure of, they were not at the cross. None, all of the scriptures tell us that. So as they put the thorns of crown on his head, remember, Peter denied him and began to cry, and right after that they arrested Jesus. So when they laid him on the cross and they nailed the nail in his hands, Peter didn't see it. Neither did the other disciples. Judas already had betrayed him. So there were 11 left, and only one was at the cross. So how many was missing? 10, right? They were not there as they nailed those horrible nails in his hands. And most of the historians tell you that, you know, crucifixion was the way they killed folks, and it wasn't in his hands. We say that from what some of the writers say, it was in his wrist, which is more painful. The historians have said they nailed it in his wrist so it would be hanging from it. Peter did not see it. And then they would nail him in his feet, friends. He had already been bruised and knocked down. You remember the story well, that he couldn't carry the cross at one point. And then Simon of Cyrene would take the cross, and he had been a slave, and they took the cross to carry it part way for him because he was so weak, and yet he kept going and going. What a Savior. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. And then when they hoist him up on the cross, you must imagine how painful that must have been, because they laid the cross flat and then they nailed him. And when they hoist you up and your wrists are holding your weight, the very thought of it makes us tremble. Were you there when they crucified him? And then on the cross, the first word he would say, our Lord and Savior, the first word from the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The first word. He would remember us, remember humanity, even when he was in pain. And then after that, there was two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. And the one who would ask him to forgive him for all of his sins. And he says, you are forgiven. In essence, today you will be with me in paradise. I tell you, what a Savior, friends. And then the third word, he would look and he sees his mother. And he sees John, and she's holding on to the cross. She's weeping. And Mary Magdalene. And he knew that he was leaving this earthly life, and somebody had to take care of his mother. And he says, woman, behold your son. My God, my God. And then he said to John, behold your mother. He was taking care of his family as he was on the cross. Amen. That's our Savior. And then he would ask for something to drink. He was thirsty. He says, I thirst. I thirst. And what did they do? They put vinegar, worse than vinegar as we know it, and gave him the sponge. And he could not take it. 3 hours on the cross. 3 hours he was on the cross, our Savior, hanging there in the hot sun, when you go to Israel, they show you the place that they thought Calvary. They show you the hill place, the sun, the Mediterranean sun would be beaten down. And he would hang there until it became dark. It was becoming, as the sun was going down from 12 to 3, Peter was nowhere around. Yet Jesus still loved Peter. That's good news for us. And then some point after everything had been done, you remember they pierced him in the side. They pierced him to make sure that he was dead. That's part of their crucifixion routine. And when everything had been completed, Jesus said, "It is finished." What he had come to do, he would do. Did it for you and me. Even though we were not there. And even though we don't know tonight what we would do. We may think we know, but we don't know. And then at the end he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." To commend means to trust. Some writer says commit. But the King James and RSV, it's the commend. Into your hands, I trust my spirit. I've done it, Lord. And he did it for Peter and for you and for me. Friends, what would we do if we were there? Mary and John, when they brought the cross down and take his body, thank God for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who had a tomb. After you read the story so often, you know them. I don't even have to read. I know the story. I've read it so much and cried over it and prayed over it. Nicodemus said, "I was there." You remember Nicodemus? That he would meet at night. The Pharisees, the brilliant man, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again, born from above." He was there. He would be there to offer at that time. And so Joseph of Arimathea, who had a tomb, would take his body, and the women were weeping. Peter wasn't there, but Jesus would remember Peter. Because when the woman showed at the tomb, we won't talk about that tonight. He says, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Ah, he never forgave them. He never forgot them. He says, "Go tell Peter," one of the gospel writers says. "Go tell Peter and the disciples." I know he denied me. He's all right. I'm big enough, Jesus says. I'm big enough. He's big enough to take all of our doubts, friends. He's big enough to hold my doubt. Don't let anybody put any guilt on you if you doubt Jesus every now and then. He's big enough to take all of our doubts and fears. He's big enough to take it and hold it and forgive us. What he wants is a forgiven heart. Friends, faith like Peter, do we deny Christ even as we claim to believe in him? Let me give you 3 points on how we deny him now. Not talking about our faith. First point, we deny Christ by not talking about our faith. We talk about the things we love, that excites us, and that mean a lot to us. Our faith should be no different. Jesus told his disciples, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Are you denying Christ? Am I denying Christ by not talking about him? I know it's my job to talk about him, but I'm talking about in my own personal life. Just because we might have never vocally renounced our beliefs doesn't mean that we never denied Christ. Because when we are in company of people we don't want them to not welcome us or bring us into their groove, we don't talk about Christ. Number two, not defending or believing elements of your faith because you are afraid of people's reaction. Who is going to be with us at the time of death? Who is going to be with us at the other side? I say, now that I am old now, older, what do I care if you don't want to have me in your company? I am a Christian, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. And what do I care? I'm going to tell my daughter that I believe in Jesus. She knows that well, and if she doesn't like it, too bad, because she's not around to give me some water when I'm in the home or wherever. God will send somebody else. Amen? God will send somebody else. So I am not going to deny Christ for my children or for my friends. I don't need any more friends. And if they, you know, if you have adopted another religion or another faith, it's okay. I believe in Jesus and you believe in something else, but I'm not going to deny Christ. Not willingly. I may mess up, but not willingly. Maybe if somebody comes up with a gun to kill me and I get nervous and I don't believe, I will say this as a confession. I don't believe I would say no. I would say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I pray by God's Holy Spirit that I would. But who knows sometimes when trouble comes? Who knows when we're in a position where we have to defend certain controversial elements of our faith? A refusal to do so can be a form of indirect denial. When we have to tell people, when people ask us, is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? That's what our Bible says as Christian believers. Maybe there are other ways to get to God and to heaven. Okay, you have found those ways. That's between you and your God. But between me and my God, Jesus is the way. Peter denied Jesus because he was afraid to be associated with him at a time when Jesus was in danger and close to death. Are we afraid? Will we deny him? And my third point and final point, denying Christ through our acts. Our lives should reflect the impact Jesus has had on them. The impact. This doesn't mean that everything is perfect or that we need to be, but it does mean that our actions should imitate his. Essentially, we need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk, friends. They claim to know God, but their actions, in our actions at times, we deny him. Tonight, Lord, friends, let us remember the work on the cross. It is the finished work on the cross. The finished work. Completed. Fini. Every language can translate. Done. Jesus did it all. So that we don't need the blood of calves and goats anymore. We've got the lamb. Susie sang tonight, we've got the lamb. Or yesterday, I believe, was played, O Lamb of God. We've got the lamb that was sacrificed for our sins as Christian believers. And guess what? Jesus is so wonderful and loving and kind that everyone who will may come. And like Jesus forgave Peter, we too are forgiven. We too are forgiven, as the front of the bulletin says, or as you came in the welcome says, forgiven. That's our name now, forgiven. Praise God. We are forgiven, saved by his amazing grace. Grace so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all, Isaac Watts says. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Peace died, love so amazing and so divine demands my soul, my life, and my all, everything I have, I give to Christ. Unto thee I surrender. Unto you I truly give. I will always trust him because I know he bore it all for me and he bore it all for you. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. Amen.